God has given us a window to look out of, back into history, to be able to have the benefits of history, to have the benefits of yesterday, so that we can profit today. So, in the light of that, in God's presence, we're going to look, as we have been, and Jeremiah, and remember now, Nebuchadnezzar is in once, in 605, and he's in again at 597, in again at 586, where he levels the city. And we're talking about a 597 period. All the kings now are bad. Everything is set. There's no more good going to come. It's all locked in where it's going. And Jeremiah has said that, and in saying it, he has disturbed many of the people, in particular the priest who's in charge of the temple at the time, and he's in charge of order and disturbance, and he's sort of the chief of police for the temple. And he is gone and taken Jeremiah because of, as we studied in chapter 18 and 19, he has gone and beaten him and put him in stocks overnight and then let him loose. And the movement is to get him, to keep him out of business, and ultimately to kill him, as it already has been in motion. Now, so here in his paskor, the guy's name, the priest, and he has done all this. Now, and he has been a new name, as we read together in chapter 20, verse 8, Magor Misabib, which means terror, and then the word Misabib, which means in every way, at all times. He's a terror in every way at all times. He's a terror. And he causes terror. He is a terror. That's his name. And he's surrounded by terror. He's telling them, among other things, that we can look to Egypt in some form to come and protect us from the Nebuchadnezzar. We can look to Egypt and others, and things are working out pretty good, which was all wrong and all no good. Now, and the prophets and the priest were in cahoots with him and agreed with him. And therefore the people are going to recognize when the disaster comes that they were given lousy, bad information, but they believed it and went with it, and therefore they're going to suffer for it. Now, so therefore, with that in mind, Jeremiah is now going to react, as we started to share together, in Jeremiah chapter 20. And in the process, we share together that verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. And we shared that because God's giving us all kinds of super little things here to lock onto. Now, Jeremiah, the word deceived, to be persuaded, to be enticed. God, you, personally intensive, you went and persuaded me. Remember we shared that. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God gave him, said, I'll be with your mouth, I'll protect you in every way. And he had all that. So Jeremiah was persuaded to take on the assignment that God had for him. And he was exercising that assignment. He's been exercising it for a long time now, comparatively, and therefore he's been faithful in it. But it wears and wearies, and the people have no interest at all in responding. They do not appreciate Jeremiah. Jeremiah can't go on leave in some little island somewhere. He's left to be in the thick of all the talk and all the words and everything going on. He's left to be in the middle of it. Now, Having said that, so it's a very difficult time, and we share together the deceived. God persuaded him, and Jeremiah was persuaded. And we share together so that we catch that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God persuades the heart that would be persuaded with his word. That's the verb, to be persuaded. From it comes all the other little words out of it. Faith and all of them come from this word. So, to be persuaded by words. God said, I'm going to talk to you and give you the information, and I want you to be convinced and change and believe me. And Jeremiah did in this case, and we are to what? Believe him. God, do you have authority to say what you say? Absolutely. Is it accurate? Absolutely. Is it actually going to happen? Very much so. So God, here we are looking, and we're persuaded. All right, so we got that part. Now we go to the next part. Jeremiah, we understand being persuaded. And say, why are you believing? Because God, why do you believe? Because what? God said it. You read it, and God said it. You have been persuaded. And if someone asked you, God persuaded me to believe. And I believe. I'm persuaded. I believe. Now, next part. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. And I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. So I'm in the middle of the thick of it, and God, you are stronger than I am, and you have prevailed. Now, having said that little bit, being stronger, and we share together the little verb that we're looking at now, stronger, is to be persuaded, to bind very firmly together, to bind something very tight, to tie it tight, to make it firm, to make a strong package well tied, to make a rope well intertwined that's very strong to hold the big ship. Wow. Now, so that's the word. That's the little verb we're looking at. God, you're stronger than I am. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and he's stronger. Now, Jeremiah and everything God has done, how can you speak, without going back there, Jeremiah chapter 1, God said, I'm going to be with your mouth, I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to be with your mouth. And you don't have to be afraid. No one can touch you. Kings, prophets, priests, people, no one. You are invincible. You're with me, and I'm taking you and using you as my mouth to speak. And therefore, I'm very strong, said God. And no one's going to overcome me or outwit me or outmaneuver me. No. So I want you to be, Jeremiah says, God, you are certainly stronger than I am. I have no way to compete, which is true. Now, Ezekiel, over if you would, to just look at him, because he's in the same place. Ezekiel chapter 3. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, may I pick up, please, in verse 14. Now, just picking up the same flavor now. Chapter 3, verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. In other words, I'm being moved into the battlefield. Are you ready to go out of the trench into the front lines to run down against all the enemy? No, I'm not interested in doing that. But the command has been given by the chief. Charge. And here I am going. And God, you're what? You're stronger than me. God, I wouldn't do it, but God, you're God. I'm not God. You are. Now, Having said that little bit, to get the flavor of it now, you got that. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, same period of history, as it were. And here they are. Now, go with me, please, or back over, if you would, to the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 9. Picking up, if I may, in chapter 9. Exodus 9, and picking up, please, now, back and forth with Pharaoh, to let my people go, God's message by way of Moses and Aaron, to let the people go out of Egypt, and Pharaoh wasn't going to cooperate. Therefore, to pick up the little bit of it, chapter 9, verse 34, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, in other words, the great drama and plagues and everything, God backed down from striking out and showing his power, and therefore it looks like the storm's gone. It looks like we can do what we can. Now God isn't active now. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Now the word hardened is the word strong, to make firm, to make the rope thicker and thicker, stronger and stronger. Instead of Pharaoh getting more lining up with God, he's opposing God. So God says, you need to do this. I'm going to do this. And Pharaoh would not cooperate. Therefore, sliding down verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, there's your word, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So Pharaoh's heart, God is just continuing. He isn't changing his plan, and Pharaoh is not going to cooperate and not going to go along with it. So that isn't working out at all. Chapter 14, to get a little more. Chapter 14, picking up, if I can, in verse 4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them crossing the Red Sea, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians' purpose may know what? That I am the Lord. And they did so. So everything's going to move along, and Pharaoh, are you going to back off? No, I'm going to go send my troops right smack dab in the middle of the Red Sea to chase them. Now, verse 8, 14 and 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. So they're going out and crossing the Red Sea, but Pharaoh is going and in what? He is opposing God. Jeremiah says, God, you are stronger than I am. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to yield. I just need to understand. I'm not going to fight you, God. I'm going to lose because you're stronger than I am. Pharaoh didn't do that. Didn't do that at all. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. And, chapter 16. Will get us the flavor of it. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And may I pick up, to get the a little bit, picking up in verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge force? And in the process, Asa, were they not a huge force? And with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. Now God, you, Asa, you did that. Now the point, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, single-hearted, wherein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Asa, you trusted me and I saw it, and I blessed you with my wonderful power and strength. But, you're not doing that. Why aren't you doing that, Asa? God is looking for what? I'm looking. Did you find a Pharaoh who would cooperate? No, Pharaoh would not cooperate. He would not. And he paid for that. Now, and Asa, I'm looking up and down all over the world, north, south, east, west, latitude, longitude, wherever it is. I'm looking to see if I can find a man, a woman, boy, or girl who would look to me. And I'm going to show myself strong to that person. If I will find somebody looking to me, I will show myself strong. Jeremiah, you're looking to me. You have my word. You're on an assignment. And he says, God, you're stronger. You betcha. Now, so here is God looking. But the Pharaoh did not come out good at all. So now we want to go and see about the positive side. Pharaoh's sort of negative, as it were. So who lines up with God? Well, over to 1 Samuel, illustrating it. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And you will notice, please, 1 Samuel chapter 30, may I pick up, please. Sliding down. Remember, David now has got tied up with the bad guys. He went to try to help fight with the bad guys. He shouldn't have done that. And in the process, he had all his men go with him to do the work. And of course, the king sent him back, because the king said, you are not with us at all, which is true. And so David went back with his men. And in the meantime, the bad guys, another group of bad guys, came in and took all the women and children and all the goods and all their treasures that they had with them and took them captive and spoiled them. And all the men came back. Remember, they're going to stone him to death. The men were so upset of what happened, and on both ends. And therefore, they were terribly upset, and they were going to stone David. Now, David, what did you do? Chapter 30, verse 6, as you know, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now, but David, you could have ran away, you could have put your head in the sand. No, you didn't know. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And the word encouraged is the word strong, to tie together, to bind together, to twist around, to make something strong. David, what did you do? I looked at my men. I looked at the absence of the women and children. I looked at the spoil, I looked at the enemy, I looked at what I just tried to do, which I shouldn't have done. I looked, God, I looked at the whole arrangement, and I took all of those pieces, all of them. God, they weren't good. That's why I'm going to get, why I'm here. And God, I'm going to bring them all together like threads, and I'm going to tie them all together and make it strong. I'm going to take all of those reasons and all of those problems in my life right now, and I'm going to make them all come together and wrap themselves around God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He took every one of those things that would have destroyed his mental thinking and probably his life. He didn't do that. He brought it all together. So think of all the things in your life that you would like different or change. And they're all there. They aren't going to go away. So what are we going to do? We're going to use them. We're going to bring them all together, and each one I'm going to give to God and look to God, and I'll bring it to God, turning, trusting God at all times. I'm going to pour out my heart, Psalm 62, 8. I'm going to pour out my heart before God, and I'm going to wrap it around God. And the little thread is nothing. But wrapped around God, the little thread is exceedingly strong. I'm wrapping it around God. Now, David did that. Now, David, you lined up with God. You didn't back off like Pharaoh and oppose him. You looked to God. Now, do it again, a little different way. Over to 2 Samuel, since that's easy. 2 Samuel, and in chapter 10. 2 Samuel in chapter 10. And picking up, if I may, and remember now, there's Joab and Abishiah, his brother, and the enemy is there, and the enemy is there on the children of Ammon, and they're coming in. Now they are surrounded, as it were, somewhat. So you can't be all over here because they'll be behind you. So we've got to split up. So he picked his chosen men, the bestest men, that wouldn't need so many of them, to go over on this side. And then he took the rest of them and turned them on this side. And one was under Joab and one was on Abishiah. Now, and thus, his statement, verse 10, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishiah his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong, there's your little word, they're strong, twisting. They got way more than we do. Chariots, horsemen, whatever. They're more than us. They're stronger than we are. So is most everything around us. Verse 11, and if the Assyrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong, there's your word again, for thee, then I will come and help you. In other words, whichever one needs help, we're going to go and support each other and make us try to come together, twist together, and make it stronger by more. Now, verse 12, be of good courage, be of good courage, and let us play the man. And there, let us play the man. And that's the word strong. Let us be strong. Say it another way. Let us play the man. Let us be the man for the task. Well, that's wonderful. Let us be the man. Now, and thus, be of good courage. Let us play the man for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good, which seemeth him good. God, whatever you want to do, you want to have him beat us, that's fine. You want us to win, that's fine. God, we're on your side. We're strong, but we aren't going against you. We're looking to you. And God, unless you do something, we're sunk, because our strength is no match for the enemy. Even when we try to do our bestest, it's no match. Now, having said that little bit, thinking of all of those things, then you would recall, if you would, back over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, again, now you got a little flavor of it. You got being deceived, persuaded. He's persuaded. Jeremiah recognizes God is stronger. Are you going to fight God, Jeremiah? Nope. Are you going to go? All you know, Jeremiah, is that you are an instrument in God's hands. Now, that we aren't going to get there yet, but that's why it is such a potent passage if you want to understand prophets. Because when God speaks, his words go out and override and overrule the prophet entirely. God, when he wants to speak, the man is back and God is up front. And that's what it's going to say. We're going to look at it. It's an awesome thing. So you want to know, how did you get your Bible? God gave it. The words, 2 Timothy 3, the words are inspired. 2 Peter 1. Prophets spake. Prophecy is of no personal interpretation. The Spirit of God gave it. That's what you got here. And you're looking, I even read it here, just so you pick it up while I'm saying it. Verse 9. Then said I, will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not stop. How could I stop God? You don't. You don't. When God's moving, man, you go. You don't fight God. You look to God. He has to help us. God, now, having said that little bit, back up, if I can, to verse 7. Thou art stronger than I, thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. You have prevailed. Now, the word, little verb, prevail, you have prevailed. So let's take that one a little bit. And it means to take up what is laid down, what is laid upon one. In other words, if I put a package in your arms, you're going to carry it. If I put a package on your shoulder, you're going to bear and carry the package. Prevailing, you're going to carry, prevail, bear, outwork, you're going to carry it. You're going to overcome. You're going to do what you have to do in a way. So you're going to prevail, and that's the word. To have power over, to be able to overcome. You're going to have that, the word prevail, the verb. God, you have prevailed. Now, that's an awesome thing, God. You have prevailed. Now, having said that, and remember now, in the process, to get that, do that a little differently, I guess. Let's pick it up a little going ahead. To Daniel, remember Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Daniel was the first one to go into captivity, 605. He went on the first batch. Ezekiel goes on the second batch. Jeremiah never goes. Jeremiah stays right there, the city's level, and Jeremiah just looks at it. And God protects him. Now, having said that, over to get the flavor of this, so you, it's an awesome thing. I hope it's God, you really help us if we'd let you. Now, over to Daniel. And Daniel chapter 3, and you would recall, we're going to look at our little word, prevail, to overcome, to carry the burden, to carry, to overcome, to have power, prevail. Therefore, chapter 3 of Daniel, remember the three, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they all didn't bow down and in the plain of Dura, worshiping the image. And therefore, they were rather obvious that they didn't bow down because everyone was down and they were standing up. And therefore, they had to have the punishment, which is to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, if I can, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, remember now, they're going to go into the fiery furnace. They aren't going to recant. They aren't going to back down. They aren't going to go down and kneel down. They aren't going to do that. And verse 16. They answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Now, what are you guys going to say? Here's the furnace. There's no way out, and you aren't going to back down. No change. The law of the Medes and Persians must be fulfilled. Now, so what are we going to do? Well, whatever you're going to do, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 17, the God whom we serve is able, prevail. There's the word to prevail, to overcome, to be more powerful, to be able to carry whatever it is Wow. Our God is able to deliver us. If God wants to deliver us, He will. And you're looking at the fire, and this is the one time only. We have no other record of this kind of thing. So what do you expect? You're going to go in and die. That's right. You're going to go in and die. So having said that, over, if you would, verse 29. Nebuchadnezzar, remember they go in and they're not a hair is singed. You have to think of that. You know, the hairs, you'd think you'd burn a little hair. There's not a hair burned in them. I have to tell you, I'd be impressed. If it was I was Nebuchadnezzar and I was any of those other guys looking, I would be thoroughly impressed that that's impossible. It is, but not with God. It's quite possible, you see, because God is stronger and He prevails. So it didn't matter. But Jeremiah, you had to understand that. He did. I said, I do. Now, chapter 3, verse Nebuchadnezzar now. So we can slide down, if I can, to verse 28. I'll even verse 27, since I said that much about it. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors were gathered together, saw these men, and upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants and that trusted Him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, like, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is the power at this time in history. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you speak against that God, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because, reason, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. There's the word, deliver. There's no one else that can do this except that God. And you don't mess with that God. You can mess with all our little gods. Don't mess with that God. Don't even mess around. Wow. Wow. And if that isn't enough, chapter 6. In chapter 6, and you would recall, the continues in that time, never that. And Daniel, of course, wasn't going to honor the system of idolatry and that he was in there. And therefore, chapter 6, and picking up in verse 20. And when, remember he's in the lion's den now, I should say. And verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the lion's den of lions. And the lions are hungry, you know, lots of lions and one little man to eat. That's not much. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, the king did, to Daniel. And he said to Daniel, he has to assume Daniel's alive now. So he has to understand, he has a little sense that the lion just may not eat Daniel. That's what he knew. He said, this God of Daniel, he's something else, and we put him in the lion's den, but you know, he may not be eaten. Daniel, are you there? Uh-huh. Now, verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able? There's your little word, prevail. Prevail, to be strong, to be powerful, to overcome, to be able to carry. Whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions. And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And God protected him in an awesome way. Wow, you did that, God. I did. Now, over if you would, please, back to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah and chapter 18, you'll remember Jeremiah was being educated all the time, and he was educating the people in the process, and by the potter's house, you'll remember that, and the pottery was marred, etc., etc., and the potter went and made the vessel again as a vessel, whatever he wanted to make, he made it. He had no problem. God could do whatever he wanted. The potter could do whatever he wanted as long as the clay is soft. Once the clay gets hard, you don't do anything. You throw it away. But if it's a little soft, you can play with it, work with it. And therefore, chapter 18 and in verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Back in verse 6, O house of Israel, can, there's your little word, able to prevail, to overcome. God said, cannot I do whatever I wish? What did you say, Jeremiah? You're stronger than I am, and you prevail over the whole works. God, you make it work. That's correct. Pharaoh, you didn't catch that. No. But David, you did. And Joab, you did. And now, here's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is enjoying, even though it's a horrible thing that he's going through, he said, no, you know, God, from a human standpoint, it's horrible. And I'm all worn out. But, when I look at you, all of a sudden it has to change. It has to be redefined, rethought about my life, my family, my marriage, my everything. God, it's all about a wonderful exercise of learning and loving and leaning upon you. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, oh, maybe in closing we could do that. Not quite closing, but almost. Over to Numbers. You'll see it. So you can have it to work with. Numbers chapter 13. And you recall in Numbers chapter 13 that in the 12 spies came back from checking the land that they were going to go into, Palestine. And in the process, the giants were there, and the city walls, and the chariots of iron, and all of it was there, and therefore there's no way they could possibly overcome such an enemy. The 10 said that. But the 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome. That's the same verb twice. Able to overcome. We're able to prevail. We certainly can prevail. We certainly can do it. You know the odds. It was a matter. God, they believed God was, God told them to go, and they were going to go. Jeremiah's going, and he's reaping. He isn't supposed to be a picnic. And he's going and hanging in there, and he's encouraged to do so, even though his normal human frame gets discouraged. And therefore their response, you remember, the same verb, but, verse 31, But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." There we are. We can't go up. They're stronger than we are. That's the trouble. That's you guys aren't looking to God, who's stronger than all. He prevails. He prevails. And therefore, that's the word we're looking at, to prevail, to overcome. Now, having said that a little bit, sliding over to chapter 14, and in verse 16, because the Lord was not able, there's your word, 14:16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. In other words, Moses' argument is not that we're wrong, God, but if you eliminate all of us, which God could do, if you did that, then you're going to give the enemy an excuse to say, see, he brought them out of Egypt to get rid of them. They were just slaves anyway. And his argument was just, and God knew the argument anyway and agreed with it. Therefore, Moses said, God, do you know what they're going to say? You are not able. You can't prevail. But you can prevail. You do prevail. You do overcome. You do win. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You overcome because I've overcome, he said. That's why it isn't. Jeremiah got it in all of them. Now over it, please, in, if you would, chapter a Psalm. Psalm 78. Now, during the, remember now they're going to go 40 years, 38 years in the wilderness, and they're going to go there because they didn't believe. They should have been, said, God, you're able, we're going to go with Joshua and Caleb. They didn't. Now, Joshua and Caleb are fine, but the rest of the people aren't fine, the men, and they're all going to die. Now, and what did the, now, I want you to notice, we're not able to go against the chariots of iron. We're not able to go against the walled cities. We're not able to go against the giants. And we aren't going in to take the land that you promised us, God. That was their negative. And they stayed negative. They stayed negative for 38 years. Chapter 78. Psalm 78, I should say. In Psalm 78, verse 19. I'll even read verse 17, you see the context. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted, put God to the test in their heart by asking meat or food for their lust. They didn't care about the food. They just wanted to make an argument and keep the argument going and going and going. They didn't. When did you want it to end? Well, no matter what you do, it won't satisfy, no matter how you cut the cookie. Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can, there's your little word, prevail. Can God, is God able to furnish a table in the wilderness? Is God able to do it? And he's going to say it again, verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Can he do it? Is God able to do it? Is God able to do? Absolutely. But you don't believe. You don't believe. And therefore, nothing happens. Nothing happens. In closing, over if you would, over to the book of Job. Now remember Job, and Job had an awesome personal life. He didn't have to fight anybody. He just had to exercise and experience. And when he did, he went all the way through that, and in the process, Job, God let all kinds of things happen to Job by way of Satan, and he had them. And he had them for how long, we don't know for sure, but he had them. And he lived with them, problem after problem, physical problem, day in and day out, morning, noon, and night. No relief. And he's looking. He said, I wish I'd never been born sometime. But he was looking to God to try to learn from it. And he did. Job, can you overcome all that I let Satan do to you? Can you look to me and be, trust me, thankfully, when I let all of those things happen to you? Are you going to trust me? That's a test. All of these things, why do they happen? Are you going to trust me? Therefore, conclusion, chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Do you see the word can do, prevail? You can prevail. You are quite able to do whatever, God. How did you learn that, Job? I went through a whole lot. And you know what? We can't even put it all together for you now, but you get the idea. And you know what you did, God? And he did the same for Jacob, remember. He blessed him. He took it all away, and then he blessed his heart. And he doubled what he took away. God did that. God said, you trust me. Jeremiah, are you going to succeed? I am. I am. You're stronger than I am, God, and you prevail. And things aren't changing. My health, my wealth, my job, my world, it's the same. And you're the same God.